Apuros diz.
Morning, Chairperson. In the absence of ACEL, I'm just standing in for. We've received from Honourable Ntlangwini, Honourable Kumani, and Honourable Kwankwa. Thank you.
Thank you. Those apologies will be noted. There's an agenda in front of us. You remember that yesterday we started talking about the special appropriation bill, so we'll be discussing that. Then we also have got a proposed oversight visit program. And then can we, as number five, put in program for the third term? We'll present that. Number five, program for the third term. And then number five will be the consideration of the minutes. Let's just make sure that we've got minutes of the third, the fourth, the 10th, and the 11th of September. Okay. Thank you very much. Can we go to the Special Appropriations Bill? It's more about the report that was presented to us. So just want to make sure that we are not leaving anything to the that we don't record. If there are glaring omissions that honorable members are looking at. So can you go to the report? What we'll do, we'll just go page by page, just to check whether there are things that you might have picked up. Honorable Peters will be joining us late. He's just delayed somewhat. Okay, do we have the report in front of us? Right. There's page one of the report. I think it properly reflects. Page two. Three, we're not adopting anything, just want to make sure that the records are correct. We're not adopting anything now. Four, which is about to the FLC, the Parliamentary Budget Office. And then we had ESCOM and the Department of Public Enterprises. And then we had Organization and Doing Tax Abuse on page 7. On page 8, still continuing, then with COSATU, then on page 10, we have Alternative Information Development Center. And then we, 4.7, the same page with the Fishhook Bill Rate Payers and Residents Association. And then we had Mr. Sigwela and Mr. Gasson. They made the written submissions. Now, as you can see, that only on page 11, the committee findings and observations and the recommendations are still not there. I'll be taking you because we've been making these observations and recommendations in the process. So just to jog our memories, I would like us to spend a little bit more time on that, because having listened to all these organizations, having seen what the individual said, what are we then saying? I know we're making these points and questions along the process, but I think that's we're at a point where we can then say, deal with the question of findings and observations, and seek support recommendations. Welcome, Honourable Peters. We did receive your apology. Yes, other members, I'm going to take you now on, based on all this and our interaction with the different stakeholders, role players who came before us, can we then deal with the question of what we consider to be our findings and observations? Are we together, honourable members, what we're now trying to do? That having interacted with all this, we're saying what are our observations and findings, right? So I've noted Honourable Sarupen and Honourable Lezana, Honourable Matafa, Honourable Peters. Okay. You can still come in and allow Honourable Sarupen to start.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, in terms of what we all agreed on as a committee, the first thing, of course, was that we believe that the conditions attached to this bailout must be very stringent. I think that we've achieved some consensus there. We all agree that we cannot give Eskom a blank check. So I think that is our concern. We also agree that the effect of this bailout must be to lead to the fiscal sustainability of Eskom over the two years that the bailout's being paid. I think, Chair, we've probably reached consensus on that. In terms of the public participation, I think, Chair, we observe that there are widely divergent views on the how to fix it, but certainly everybody agrees that Eskom must be fixed. So that is an important point. I think that generally there was a feeling from everyone, as in terms of public participation across the board, that persistent bailouts are not desirable. And then, Chair, just, I'm not sure if the committee will agree with me on this, but my observation, from the Alternative Information Development Centre, while I found their presentation thought-provoking because it was completely different to most perspectives we get, if we wind the clock back to the report that we got from the PBO in the last term around the economic brief, the PBO told us that at this stage, we are not headed for an IMF bailout because South African government bonds are still being purchased on capital markets. There's no problem. Our bonds are well subscribed to. And so it's not desirable at this stage to be looking at taking money out of the government employees' pension fund of the UIF because we are still able to sell state bonds. It's not as though we're not Argentina, we're not Greece, we're not Venezuela. We're not in that predicament yet. And so if we are still able to raise on international capital markets, we should be protecting the UIF and the GEPF for now, and avoid a situation where we actually have to start dipping into those funds. That's my view. I'm not sure if the committee agrees with me, but I think that we should note the AIDC's innovative ideas, but note that it is that our economy is not yet in such dire straits that we have no other options. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Chair, perhaps let me start by the generic comment on the presentations. Chair, inclusive of the, I would say, advices from FFC and also the presentations made by Treasury. These presentations have broadened our scope of thinking, and they've actually sharpened our tools of analysis. And two, Chair, without picking on some, but generally, I want to suggest, Chair, that going forward, that these particular presentations from these seemingly interested stakeholders into the cause of our existence here in this Parliament should be continuously invited and engaged. Because listening, Chair, to some of the presentations here, you learn that there is a lot that we can learn outside the minor scope which now was focusing on this particular special appropriations. We had presentations here which were whose research was broader than the scope of this appropriations bill. Presentations which Chair could even assist in guiding us towards even the study tours that we can go out and take so as to learn more during the five-year period of our stay in the sixth parliament. That was my generic comment, Chair. Chair, having said that, getting closer now, almost all presenters have got serious views around measures put for accounting purposes, or what one could call accountability measures, which I think, as Honorable Sir Ben just indicated, that we are in agreement as the committee around that. Then, Chair,
informed by that, one would then suggest that going towards the actual decision making, I know today we are not yet there, but let's go consider, subject to correct legal advices, a way of changing terminology from conditions to regulations. And two, also assisted legally, check if can't we, before the actual decision-making meeting or voting meeting, we invite the relevant department or departments, if it has to be both Treasury and DPE, but that department which has got the sole responsibility of presenting to us the regulations, that they be invited to present such before we take a final decision, avoiding a situation where we take a decision subject to, you know, saying, okay, they may, after we would have taken the decision, consider our input and all. Remember, Chair, that it is not the sole responsibility of a particular committee to develop regulations. Immediately you agree with me that we take the route of regulations. But then, perhaps the advocate will assist me in this, because I've got a feeling that we may not be able to hold the department that they must after we would have approved. So lastly, Chair, this report, let me say so, I do not know. I would have loved to see, perhaps it's because we issued this document yesterday and there were some activities which took place yesterday in this meeting regarding the DA's submission and the manner in which we dealt with. I would like to see some kind of a reflection, Chair. A smart reflection which doesn't snub anyone, but able to say this was our approach. Because at the end of the day, we agreed with the content. That's why I'm saying this should be an approach which doesn't seem to be snubbing any other person or bringing ill feelings amongst ourselves. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now, before I reflect on the observations that are directly attached to the bill, I will just speak slightly on the process, just briefly. I think, Chair, the process thus far has been very open, transparent, and allowed all relevant stakeholders to make meaningful contributions. All those that had interest were given a fair chance and a platform to make their voices heard. So I think that is a step in the right direction in us ensuring an activist parliament and a parliament that listens to all and sundry. Chair, the second observation stems from one sentence that I once picked up in the presentations that were made to the committee. And that sentence speaks to the lack of proper oversight by government/parliament on the functions of entities. I think for me that is striking when an entity says, you are not doing your job, you are not holding us to account, and when things go wrong, you want to wrap us around the knuckles. So check your game up. So that one, Chair, remains vividly in my mind to say, what is it that as this committee can we do to ensure that that sentence never repeats itself from any entity of government. And I think that, that being said, Chair, the observation that I think seeks to address that particular observation by the entity itself is when all of us agree that there should be frequent and meaningful reporting by the entity. And I think that we have thrown time frames around 3 months, and we also interrogated a proper consolidated approach from all those other entities that have a direct link to the workings of the entities. And I think, Chair, that will assist in the purpose of achieving an effective oversight role from the side of Parliament. The second point, Chair, is that the committee agrees with the views of the Minister when he says that Eskom cannot be sustained in its current form. And maybe it is important to look at how we can restructure its operations, both in form, in function, and in its commitment. The only thing, Chair, with regards to its restructuring process, if I may call it that, I missed was that in the presentation on the non-core assets, the Minister and the Chair of the Board highlighted only the Eskom financial book as the only thing that they have resolved that they are selling. Now, the question that begs is that, is it the only non-core asset, or are there others? Because for me, it's important when we speak of disposing of non-core assets, we must be able to have a detailed record, having gone through a process of identifying what we deem as core and what we deem as non-core, and the process required to dispose of those particular items. So for me, Chair, that question remains. Is the loans book the only non-core asset? And if so, we need to get a direct response from the entity. The other one, Chair, is on the turnaround plan. Chair always speaks to, before we going anywhere, you must respond to the question, where is your plan? And the view is well supported by this committee, Chair. But to also take it further, to say that that plan must be transparent, and that plan must contain specified milestones to say that this is where we are starting, and when we are saying that we are done, we'll be at this point, and these are the goals that we seek to achieve, and working backwards in the interim, maybe say quarterly, yearly, or half yearly, or halfway through, and this is the final point that we need to achieve. So that we think it's important to achieve, Chair, when we consider that Eskom speaks about protecting their competitive edge when they are not competing with anyone. So for me, it is worrisome. It seems as if there's a deliberate attempt to keep their operations under wraps. And if we are playing an oversight role on an entity that we do not know the inner workings of, it is really going to be difficult for us. So we are pleading that the plan becomes transparent, and it be purposeful to say that we are going to achieve this, and these are the timelines. The last one, Chair, is on the, is it a white or a grey elephant? It's a white elephant, the municipal debt. We have this as a challenge, and we seem not to have a plan in terms of how we are going to try to address that. And I think as a committee we need to pronounce on efforts to have Eskom come with a debt collection strategy. Obviously, debt strategy will require national government intervention to ensure that also our departments as government do pay their Eskom debt, and municipalities, but also not forgetting the large companies that are in the country not paying for their services. I mean, Chair, I was shocked the other day that one of the most prestige venues, the Sandton Convention Center, was switched off because they were not paying for their services. It was a shocker of note. I mean, from where I'm sitting, I've never had a week where that venue never has a function that happens. I mean, now the jazz lovers are preparing to go to the International Jazz Festival happening at the same venue, but they were unable to pay for the electricity and they were threatened with switching off. So we should cast the net wider to include major corporations to ensure that everybody who uses the services of Eskom do pay, and that will be able to assist with the huge and growing debt of monies that are owed to Eskom. Chair, those are my observations, and I'll pause there. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Honourable Peter.
Thank you, Chairperson, and once more my apologies for arriving late. Chairperson, I support the colleagues with regard to the need for us to emphasize over and above what the legislation or the bill is saying with regard to the conditions and how tight those conditions should be. I was looking for the bill to try and get the correct formulation. But Chairperson, you also remember that the DG and National Treasury did give us an indication that they are working on those conditions. And I would believe that it would be important for us, even in our own report, that we emphasize the need for the committee to be appraised with regard to those stringent and tight conditions that would actually help jack up Eskom and create a protective shield around it so that it doesn't slip again. Because one of the challenges that has been identified, which I would believe the report would also need to capture, is the issue of the oversight role of DPE. Because it is really concerning that year in, year out, you have these challenges within this most important instrument for socio-economic development of South Africa, the region and the continent, because Eskom is the biggest in this continent and is a global player, and we cannot also allow it to have this shame around it. So it is important that the shareholder department for the governance arrangement and to succeed, we need a very strong, focused, and competent and capable team to support Eskom through DPE. The other thing, Chairperson, that I thought we should not forget is the fact that throughout the engagements, and including in the documents that we have before us, the issues that have been raised by COSATU and other stakeholders in the public engagement or public hearings, it speaks to the need for us to make sure that we address the issues of not losing jobs, because it would be a problem for us where Eskom shared jobs. And at the same time, we're talking about creating decent and sustainable jobs on the other side and creating the environment for a consistent and or security of energy supply. So the energy supplier must in itself guarantee those jobs to its employees. Then the other issue is regarded to how do we deal with the perennial challenge of the debts to Eskom by municipalities, by households, as well as by the private sector role players. And I want to reemphasize what I once said in the committee about the need to blacklist all private sector debtors of Eskom so that they must not do business with Eskom. I think it was important that we capture that in our report as one of the recommendations. And also, Chairperson, with regard to the households, the age-old challenges from the community of Soweto and many others in South Africa that are consuming electricity but not paying for it. You know, it is an anomaly for us to say that we want people to have access to services, and the very people who have access to these services don't want to pay for these services, and at the same time those people are benefiting from other services of government, like for example getting free basic electricity, getting the units of water, getting RDP houses, getting your social security grants through your SASSA interventions, the disability, the aged, and the military veterans, and all those. There is baskets of interventions that are being provided for the most needy. So our communities to refuse to pay for electricity is actually something that even as a committee we should actually speak about publicly. We need this committee to indicate to our communities that there is no money to subsidize the non-payment. There is no money to actually make sure that we give to Eskom to continue to provide electricity so that we can create the environment for the growth of the economy as well as the jobs to be created. So, Chairperson, the need for us to make sure that we encourage municipalities to pay is to recommend as this committee that National Treasury investigate the feasibility and of topsizing the debt of municipalities to Eskom. I will make an example. One municipality owes Eskom almost a billion rand, Maluti Apofung. And it is important that we can then be able to say how do we get that municipality and others in the top 20 that the FSC has given us a reflection on. How do we get them to pay? So that those that are not paying, the honorable member indicated that Polokwane is paying. If Polokwane can pay, why are other municipalities not paying? So it is important that they pay. With regard to the households, we need to instill in Eskom and in municipalities that we encourage them on a one household, one meter system. I'll make an example in our communities in Soweto. You have in one yard 10 households. You have the main household that is owned by the old lady or the senior citizen who is the original owner, and then you have the children and the other children and grandchildren and tenants who are living in that yard, either in a shack or a bedroom. Because they are households, they are families, we need to encourage them to each have a meter so that the old senior citizen that is a beneficiary of government a pension should then be given the indigent a grant to qualify for free basic electricity. Because many of them are not qualifying for free basic electricity, primarily because of the size of the household. If a means test is done in that yard, then it shows that many people are actually living in this place, many of them working in different platforms, some of them even being teachers and nurses and all those. So I think it is important that that one household, one meter approach would then be able to help us so that the most needy can then be caught with this net that we're talking about. Then there's also the need for Eskom's own investment. I think I subscribe to COSATU's approach that Eskom be encouraged to invest in its own clean energy initiatives. Nothing should stop Eskom from their generation component to build a solar plant, to build a wind farm. And it is important because that was one of the requirements that Eskom had many years ago with regard to their World Bank loan, to show how they can move. As part of their 9-point plan, they are talking about emissions reductions. That could contribute to their emissions reductions. Chairperson, the review of the coal contracts as well as the renewable energy procurement tariff structure is very important. We cannot shy away from that. We need to get ESCOM and National Treasury as well as DPE to focus on that. The issue of governance challenges are raised, as well as the conditions drafted by National Treasury to be presented to the committee. The joint work between us as SCOA and the DPE portfolio committee on the oversight over ESCOM with regard to this bailout is very important, and we cannot overemphasize that. I support Honorable Matafa on the register of the disposed of the non-core assets, that they need to actually, we shouldn't just be told about non-core and we blanketly say we support that, not knowing what is in this basket of non-core. So, Chairperson, I would really recommend that the committee agree that we get, maybe some of the things we'll get as time goes on, but I would believe that the conditions, once presented before us, we can help tighten them even further. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, not to belabor the points, but as far as the point that we need to raise about the findings and observations that you referred to, for me, I think the issues about the minister, and the minister is the president or the executive, if I can put it that way. Then the National Treasury's conditions, which I think is spelled out. What was interesting about what Member Peter said now, I looked at a 9-point plan, and I don't see the, it's a good point she raised, I don't see that investment part in the 9-point plan. So I think it's an important point that was raised as a proposal to go forward. But I think if you say the findings, if you want to summarize the findings, we need to come back with the reason why there's an appropriations is because the situation that ESCOM finds itself in, that was put to us by Treasury, is that what we acknowledge. There's a crisis. There's a financial crisis, and that is a finding statement, I would say. And with what Treasury has presented to us with the support of FFC and Budget Office. So, Chairperson, I think if we're going to do the oversight visits, the question that was raised about the non-core and the investments, the non-payments, how to sort that out, as the previous speaker said, that's important. I heard that we need to get the National Treasury here when we want to look at our conditions, because Treasury itself is very firm on, they're saying that process of developing conditions to be imposed before and after transfers were made to ESCOM. So I think that is our other role that we need to play as this committee. But I am satisfied with the comments raised by the members, Chairperson. Thank you.
Any other comment? Okay. As you can see, Shamila, the points that are being raised by honourable members are both observations and recommendations already. So we'll have to try and put them at their right places. I think from my side, I think as a committee, we noted with concern the debt explosion at ESCOM, which we think is unsustainable. We also noted the deterioration of the finances of ESCOM. For instance, it's worrying that ESCOM ran at a loss of about 20 billion rand. It's huge, and I think it's about 87% deterioration from the previous financial year. That doesn't say there are corrective measures that have been taken place, which have been going on for at least for 2 years, if that happens. Again, we noted with concern the impact of IPPs on the financial viability of ESCOM. the impact of the debt of Eskom on the sovereign debt and also on the sustainability of the fiscus. I think this has been mentioned about the fact that we are saying that a closer look at the contracts of Eskom. We received with dismay the fact that there are companies who are making super profits, 50, 70, 100%. So the people of South Africa find themselves funding the profitability of those companies. We think those contracts must be renegotiated because it's to the interest of everybody, especially those companies that Eskom is sustainable. And the committee would like to be told about those contracts. Which are those contracts? They must come and present those contracts to us. And you also want to know the extent, the terms and conditions. They may not be able to give us all the contracts, but the major contracts must be taken on board. And the whole, exactly, the silent features of those contracts, especially about the pricing. We also need to be assured that the affected departments, for instance, like public enterprises, National Treasury, and Minerals and Energy, they work together and are in sync and they agree on these things. We're trying to deal with the silo approach on these problems. Don't want to be solving one problem on one hand and you find there is something else happening. So the departments, the main departments, we must be assured that they are working together. And whatever plans that are there, all the departments, all the ministries are singing from the same hymn book. We're worried about the instability at the management level. It doesn't occur well for turnaround of the company. We also noted that there seems to be an overemphasis and over-reliance on the CRO. We don't think that the appointment of the CRO is the panacea to all the problems of ESCOM. I think the oral members have spoken about this one, that the committee wants to see the plan that has been spoken about, the minister promised that the president will be announcing it. So that the committee must be, as soon as that plan has been announced, would like the minister to come to this committee and take us through that plan so that we can critically look at it ourselves and see that is the plan that we want to fund. And even try to improve on the plan, make our own inputs. One of the responsibility of this government, and especially through the budget and the monies that we appropriate, is to see to the transformation of the economy. In that regard, we would like Eskom to come and present to this committee their transformation plan, their broad-based black economic empowerment plan, women empowerment, youth empowerment. That talks to their whole procurement strategy to make sure that these objectives are obtained. We made a point, honourable members, that we don't want to sit here and just be security guards of the money. They call it machingelani. We were saying tatara begana, tatara begana. The budget and every money that we appropriate, we want to ensure that money talks to what the country wants to do. So economic transformation is one of those measures. So we want to be taken on board about that. We're dealing with an appropriation, special appropriation of 59 billion rand. So it's very important for us to know that how do the previously marginalized people benefit from that. But that doesn't just talk about the 59 billion rand, their whole procurement stance. We were very resolute, and I'm happy that the chairperson of the board also assured us that jobs are going to be protected while ensuring that Eskom derives value from those workers. I think that's the balance, that we are not just keeping jobs for the sake of keeping jobs, right? I think what we're arguing that Eskom has invested so much in that human capital. So we should desist from looking at workers as a cost center, but as a resource, as an investment of the company and the country. We also said that Eskom's inefficiencies should not be transferred to the consumers. NERSA at all times should try to balance the interests of the consumers and that of Eskom. Right? If there's one area that we are really agitating for, is that Eskom should follow the question of getting proper emission reduction technology, so that we should continue deriving benefit from the resource that we are having, that is coal. We've got tons and tons of coal, so we can't run away from coal. But at the same time, we're very much sensitive about the concern about emissions coming from there. But there is technology. If it's not there, if there's one area that we need to invest in, is to try and get proper technology to ensure that this resource we use, we're not about to leave that resource. We're going to use that resource, but at the same time, we want to be environmentally friendly. And if there's an area that we should leave no stone unturned in ensuring that we get proper technology, using our academic institutions, our research institutions in this country, to make sure that we invest in finding proper technology so that we can continue using that resource. I think we should be very strong on that one. We can't be seen to be saying that we're about to leave a resource that we're having, but at the same time, we can't be seen to be environmentally reckless. So I think the point that we are stressing, the oral members, the question of getting proper technology and investing in ensuring that we get that type of technology. Lastly, especially looking at the presentation which of the Alternative Information Development Center, we encourage National Treasury and in its present instance ESCOM to look at other ways, right, of trying to fund, creative ways of trying to fund the financial needs of ESCOM and other SOCs, right? Not always to be fiscal, but I'm sure that can't be overnight. The Alternative Information Development Center have started throwing in certain things. We think those things should be followed up and see what we can do. It can't just be business as usual. Let's look at other options. So I think those are the things, just adding on what the honorable members have just said. I'm not sure whether, as I was talking, there are new things which might have come from the honorable members, so that we throw them in. Honorable Tihale, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Kaiso.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the issue of protecting the people's jobs, one day I did mention to the Department of Treasury that ESCOM is not treating the members of the community who have started the projects, whereby at the end of the day they end up employing themselves through those projects. When it comes to those projects, they don't allow them to use a prepaid electricity, but they give them this one under general, whereby they come every month and take the readings, and at the end of the day they end up cutting the electricity, and the jobs of those people then will end up being lost because of that, because the ratings are very high. So I thought maybe if ever there's a way of like putting in as part of their plan, it will end up assisting those people. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Just one thing. This thing of me being legally empty, so to speak, it haunts me because I'm always reminded that I lack on that part. I want to check. Perhaps we'll be assisted legally also. When dealing with this special appropriation bill, do we put in wholesale all our thinking regarding Eskom's woes, or do we focus and ring fence ourselves to the special appropriations bill, wherein we would be waiting for the president's paper on restructuring, where we would then make further inputs after we would have seen the plan, as the chairperson is saying. I'm raising this deliberately. Let's we see ourselves preempting. Remember, I raised this yesterday. Let's we see ourselves preempting the president and the DPE on what they would be coming up with. I'm thinking aloud, Chair, subject to be, you know, guided. Because remember, as I said, when you go through the presentations that have been made, some, like as you were saying, the Alternative Information Development Center, they have gone deep into suggesting on the economic transformation of this country. They have gone deeper into even advising us to think aloud and broadly, even in terms of going making some study, you know, tours and all that in other countries, where we'd be going to learn on how things are done. But now, do we quickly put all that in this particular discussion, or do we put it on hold, wherein, Jefferson, you would be allowing us at the right time to debate the restructuring of Eskom? I'm thinking aloud, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Let me start with honourable Nenza. You're not the only one who's legally not where we're supposed to be. We are fine. That's why we always have got Advocate Jenkins to assist us. These days, I know that I can always also call Honourable Matafa on the side. He's a law student, as it were. So that's fine. So that we do have a resource next to us. But let me try and venture into what you've just said. The restructuring of Eskom, I think we'll discuss it with the paper coming from the president. That's one. But the things that, from where we're seated, they are relevant to us having to appropriate this money, right? I don't think there's anything which stops us from raising those things for them to go to the report now. Yeah, we're having a report here. These are the things that if the president comes and covers them, that's fine, right? But we're not preempting him. We are saying we're giving Eskom, we're looking at what the problems of Eskom are from our perspective, and based on the reports that have been presented to us. So I think you are well within you are right, and we are within our rights to praise those things now, and not leave them for the future.
Advocate Jenkins, did you have some homework?
No, I didn't have homework, Chair, but I think to respond to the question,
sorry, so just hold.
If he wants to add,
you remember there's this thing, and we seem to be gravitating towards that,
yes.
That the conditions to try and make them firmer.
Mm.
We're saying we want them to go to the regulations, right? We said they must go to the regulations. And we are saying, and let's say that, let's not make it an option, Honourable Linzan, that those regulations, before they are promulgated, they must be presented to us. Right. They will have to be presented to us. We know it's a ministerial thing. But we would like those regulations before promulgated. I know they do regulations, for instance, they get published for public comment and so on, before they are promulgated. But from our side, we are saying it's one thing that they'll be then public. Would like the minister or ministers responsible for those regulations to come to us. I see that we have been joined by National Treasurer. Welcome, sir. I think there's. I just wanted to raise that, Honourable Kaiso.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I just wanted to raise this issue because it's at the public domain. When we're dealing with the issue of restructuring ESCOM, I think there is a sensitive matter which is related to job losses, which was sharply raised by the organized labor, and it has become a very sensitive matter. I think we should deliberately, as a committee, tighten that area in ways deliberately, that in that process of restructuring as a committee we should exclude the issue of job losses should be excluded, any form of job loss. I wanted to use the word retrenchment, but we must deliberately talk to that issue, tighten it, that ESCOM must engage the organized labor, because it has become a very sensitive matter, so that we as a committee, it will haunt us when all this process come back to say we didn't handle that area much better. Yes, we did talk about it, but I'm saying let us tighten it, that ESCOM must engage the organized labor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Advocate Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair. The regulations that the Minister may make or must make will, in my view, and Treasury can correct me, will be made in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. The bill says that conditions may be imposed when it's money is transferred or must be imposed after it's transferred, but the regulations itself, that power is not in the bill itself. Okay, so it'll do it as a general appropriation which goes through the Public Finance Management Act. That's how I understand it at this point in time. The provision in the Constitution around money bills, Chairperson, there was a little bit of a mistake, if I may say so. I think this person from SARS has pointed it out. The person, he used to be SARS and he's now with some other organization. I forgot his name with the American accent. But he pointed it out that we were quite aware of it and it slipped in. What it says is that a money bill cannot deal with anything other than money bill provisions, except the appropriation bill that can deal with what is ancillary to the appropriation. So we can put things in the legislation. I'm just trying to advise the committee. The committee may put in, but of course then we're going into a consultation with the minister because now we're amending the bill. But just to advise the committee that it can happen. The alternative route would be, as we discussed yesterday, to say in the report the minister must submit the draft regulations, or it won't be called regulations. I think Treasury, correct me again, it will be instructions or conditions, but it will come in the form of a Treasury circular or a Treasury directive. They have various, I think there's three or four types of instruments, but the Constitutional Court has looked at those because there was some confusion. And the Constitutional Court has basically ruled that all of those constitute delegated legislation, subordinate legislation, which is the same as a regulation. They carry the force of law. So it's not just a policy issue. So that's how I see it. And one can, through a report, request the minister to bring it to Parliament before it's published. However, that report, if the minister does not do that, it's of course not a transgression or non-compliance with law. It's a non-compliance with the resolution of the House. So the minister, as member of the House, can then be said, well, why are you ignoring what the House has said? And there's certain persuasive tools one can use to ensure that it happens. So yeah, that's it, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable members, anybody will die if he doesn't say anything. Any violent opposition to us closing this matter for now, and we'll be finished with them. I think we've improved on what we had, trying to capture the mood of the committee. Can I check with the researchers, content advisors, if there's anything that they think that we have left out?
Everything is covered, Chairperson. Well captured.
Zamisa?
No, Chair, everything is covered. The only point that I thought is important is the issue of cost escalations and delays in infrastructure projects like Medupi and Kusile. I think the committee was very clear. And then the issue that Chairperson spoke about, the role of the CRO. The other issue that was raised is the interface between the CRO as well as the CEO and the board of ESCOM, so that no further challenges of governance and uncertainties created would also include those. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much. I think that takes care of agenda item number 3. We'll then go to agenda item number 4. All right. You remember that there was an attempt to present something yesterday, and we were tasked to go and try and rework on it. So that's what we're presenting today. Zamisa, you have that with you now. The latest oversight, draft oversight. So, okay. Sorry, yeah. Mr. Magabula.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, as you remember yesterday, you made your inputs on the program and suggested what you feel needs to be changed. In consultation with the chairperson, we have removed some of the things that you said we must remove and then try to widen the scope in terms of time of the institutions that we need, of the departments within the institutions that we want to meet. So now, we have suggested the programs as follows, honorable members. On the 15th of October, let's start on Monday the 14th. We're still going to have in the evening the presentation by the National Treasury and the Auditor General of South Africa around the financial issues within this post, both this institution, which is ESCOM and the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa. And then on the second day, which is the 15th of October, we are planning to start the engagement at 9 with the ESCOM Board of Directors up until 11, which will be 2 hours. And then after then, we, honorable members suggested that we can't put the trade unions far back, so they should be put at least up in front. So after the board, the honorable members, we will have engagements with the labor representative at ESCOM. And then we will have a lunch break, and then by 2:30, we are starting the program again. we are meeting with the, we are engaging with the chairperson of the procurement committee, which is the subcommittee of the board, and then the chief procurement officer, as well as the head of legal. As you remember, honorable members, we said there are some issues which have been persistently been highlighted by both the Auditor General in the audit reports and National Treasury around the finances of these two institutions. As we are sitting with this bill now because of some of those issues. Also, the head of legal, honorable members, you will remember that we said there are some court issues or court cases that have been opened, both from ESCOM and other, and there are some investigations which are done by the South African investigative agencies. So the head of legal, as this matter relates to ESCOM, will have to appraise the committee on all those issues. But like I said, from our side, what we'll do is we'll just give members a brief of what are the legal matters that are currently either before the courts or which are currently being investigated by the investigating agencies of our country, which will take us to about 4:30, which will be the end of day one. And then day two of the oversight visit, which is Wednesday, 16th of October, we propose that we, again, we'll start the engagement at around 9 with the HOD or the head of department.
Mr. Makakun, yes. Don't say you start engagement at around 9.
At 9.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chairperson. Honorable members, the engagement will start at 9 o'clock to 11, which is 2 hours. Now, we engage with the different head of departments for the generation, transmission, and distribution. As the proposed restructuring of ESCOM, the president proposed that it's gone. The president has directed that it's going to be 3 entities, which will be the generation, transmission, and distribution. So now you, honorable members, will want to engage with the head of those departments so that they can get what...
Can I interrupt you there?
Yes, Chair.
As to what is going to happen to ESCOM, we'll wait for the president to pronounce on that. As things stand now, we still don't know. But currently, there are people who are heading those areas, so we want to engage with them as they are at the moment, not about the future in general. Okay.
I'm with you, Chairperson. Thank you. And from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, honorable members, we propose that we will engage with the head of HR, which is the Human Resource Management, and we will then conclude the business at ESCOM with the board of directors, the subcommittees of the board, and then we will conclude the issues at ESCOM on Wednesday.
Let's correct that. Let's remove subcommittee. We're engaging with ESCOM board. Remember, we said that we'll start with them and end with them. Mm-hmm. So it's just, yeah, let's take out subcommittees.
We're going to update the program as directed, honorable members. And then on Thursday, that's when we are going to, the committee is going to oversight in PRASA, which is the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa in Pretoria. The engagements will start at 9 o'clock with the PRASA Board of Control, and then followed similar like ESCOM with the engagements with the trade unions from 11 to 1 o'clock. And then from 14:30, honorable members, after lunch until we conclude the day, we suggest that we'll meet with the various units or business units within PRASA. Here then I will get a guidance from the chair once again. When it says the various business new units, are we also going to include the subsidiaries, which are the two subsidiaries, which are Autoparks and Intersite, together with the PRASA CRES, the PRASA Rail, and the PRASA Technical. And then if that's the case, then we will make it clear to say, okay, even the subsidiaries will be engaged on at that time. And then that will take us to Friday, Honourable Members, which is the last day of the oversight visit, which is on the 18th of October, 2019. Which also, with the program will start at 9 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll engage with the business executives of the subsidiaries now. Yes.
Okay. The first one, it's Prasa Executives at Corporate. For instance, you'll find that there's a CFO, there's a debt. Those are the ones that we're talking to, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the executive, for instance, head agent, the executive HR, executive. Yeah, you understand what we're talking about. Yeah. Then the second day is then that we're talking about the head of businesses and subsidiaries, which includes your Intersites, your Autopex, and Prasa Rail, and so on and so forth.
And then from 11, Honourable Members, we will make the adjustment as suggested by the Honourable Chairperson. From 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Friday, the committee will engage with the Chief Procurement Officer and the Head of Legal at PRASA. As you are aware, Honourable Members, PRASA also has got legal issues, if I can put it like that. There are matters which are in court as we speak. There are some investigations, so when you meet with the head of legal, that's where you will be kept abreast on those issues, what's happening around that space. And then, Honourable Members, the program will end at 16:00, which is at 4. And then you, again, like the ESCOM, and then you will conclude by meeting with the PRASA Board of Control, I think, Honourable Chair. That's the suggested program, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Mr. Makakula. I think we are of the view that once we have gone through, people will have a better view as to what is exactly happening. And again, that will be our first bite. These organizations have problems. One of the problems is here that we are dealing with at the ESCOM. So it will give us a better bite, and there can be follow-ups after that. We tried as much as we possibly can to include everything. Honourable Joseph?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think as said yesterday by Member Peters, we must leave the discretion to you, you know, which I want to do. But if I hear the report from our researcher, then it's not from you. So you have to fine-tune this. I don't agree with what's on here. Because yesterday, we had 1 hour per session, and we said, no, 1 hour is not enough. Now, if you look at this, we have 3 people in the 2 hours, which means you have less than 1 hour. Then what is even worse than what we had before. You can't take 3 organizations into 2 hours and tell me, you know, what we said, we don't want 1 hour per organization. So if you go to this report, and I want to come to the first day as well, 19 to 20, 1 hour, to have dinner and to be briefed by National Treasury and the auditor, because it's both ESCOM and PRASA. I've been on eight years, I'm sure our members know what oversight is. You never run on time, first of all. You know, it's always unforeseen things happening, and now and then you are run on time. So I know you are enthusiastic and you want to, but we experience, we know that. If you put yourself under pressure, you make a mess of it. And the question I'm going to ask, for example, if we meet these people, are they going to put up a presentation for 20 minutes? Are they going to largely speak? And then we have our questions. We want 1 hour for questions and response to that questions that we're going to have. So I'm being honest with you, Chairperson. I will leave it with you, but you must guide our young person there. He will gain the experience as we go on. I mean, 1 hour, 90 to 20, cannot be practical. It's not practical. And then on Tuesday, 14:30 to 16:30, with procurement, the officer and HOD. Now, I mean, I was in Skopje. Skopje was at 6 hours. No, just with financials. 6 hours, just with financials. So, and legal things, it's a lot of money involved. So it's not 15-minute sessions, 20-minute sessions with these guys. These are experienced guys. And we are all I'm saying, we don't have to jump in boots and all on these things. We can rather slow down, have another follow up in six months time, and then prioritize what we want to do now, and then we do another follow up, because we're going to be so tired listening to people Your brain gets tired when you sit for 6-7 hours in meetings, listening, just listening to people ask questions. It's not going to meetings, we're not going on a jolly ride, we're going to work, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to interrogate these people with the serious business that we are facing. So all I'm asking is that we slow down a little bit, even if we have to chair, that we prioritize, that you decide what is priority, and that we may some of that then even see if we have to leave for a second bite as the oversight. Because I don't want us to come back and have a condensed report just for the sake of time, and we don't do justice to what we think we want to achieve. So, and I'm not negative chairperson, I'm talking out of personal experience, and I'm sure our members know what oversight is. It's quite a job to go on overtime. It's hard work. Thank you.
We'll note that before I respond, Honourable Peters.
Chairperson, I think, let's go back and say, give you the mandate to restructure this so that we can then get maximum output out of this particular visit. The just for example, on Wednesday, 9 to 11, we're meeting the core of what ESCOM is all about, which is generation, transmission, and distribution for 2 hours. The three major components, the ones that we're talking about unbundling. And then at 11 till 13 hours, we're meeting HOD of Human Resource Management as support to the core. Same amount of time, but for one component, and then take three major areas for the same period of time. So I believe, Chairperson, with your experience, you can help us to restructure this. If we need to put aside some of the things like your HR, I think we can forego some of those and focus on where it matters most.
Noted, Honourable Duhan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the two speakers about the issue of time to the most important presenters. And I want to touch on the issue of Friday, whereby we'll be rounding off our program around 6 o'clock. And the flight to Limpopo, the last one leaves Uar Tambo at 4 o'clock. I don't know whether they're going to assist us with ground transport if ever indeed we're going to finish off our business at 6 o'clock. Because I want to be part of the program up until the end.
Okay, other members, thank you for those comments. I think the first day, the evening, let's make it 2 hours, that is from 7 to 9. I think that's the, we'll make that arrangement. The question of if you look at we'll relook at it, but if you look at on Tuesday, the 14-hour state to 16-hour state, you have got the chairperson of the procurement committee, chief procurement officer, and HO leader. All those things are related. So that's why we club them together. They've been talking more or less about this, the same things, because the chairperson of the procurement committee deals with procurement, the chief procurement officer deals with the same thing. So we thought it's one, more or less, it's one presentation, and those things have got legal implications. So I think that's the rationale we had that. We are not looking at three different presentations when it comes to that. Lastly, let me talk on this one. on Wednesday, One, taking in the what the Honourable Joseph is saying about the concentration span. That's why we're having breaks in between, just to make sure that we retain our sanity to an extent. But I think, especially on Tuesday and Wednesday, we may decide to push to, rather than ending at 1400 hours, end at 1700 hours. It's already in summer. Then we can be able to get more time. HR issues at Eskom are very problematic. If you remember last year, Honorable Peters, there have been all these types of strikes and so on, and even allegations of sabotage of our power stations. So I think that's why we thought that we need to deal with the HR executive from her perspective. Remember, we're going to have a meeting with the trade unions, and they'll raise certain issues. So we thought that it's a good balance to say after they've raised those things, we're able to interact with HR. So I think let's try to look at how we play around with time, and so that we can get a better picture. One of the things that we are raising here is a question of job security, job protection, and so on, so that you can also hear what are the plans from the HR side, because we may find ourselves shouting slogans here, only to find out there are no plans at HR to deal with perhaps the transition which may come up with whatever restructuring that is taking place. So that was the rationale behind that. Arul Peters?
The students would say a point in time. Chairperson, I think then with regard to HR, then we'll have to have HR across, because you remember they do have HR distribution in the different units. You might have that head of HR, and it would be somebody who comes, if he or she comes with the whole organization, I would agree to that. But if we say head of HR, as if we're meeting the Inkoboya Konanje, then I would have a problem.
That's the amendment that we must put in there, that the head of HR at Eskom and business units, so they consolidate their input and so on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Point taken. Honorable Mlenzana.
Thanks, Chair. I would suggest that the same goes with the HOD on generation, transmission, and distribution, that they be expected to come as a team. Mm. As a team, we wouldn't be expecting separate presentations. And you can even guide Chair, as we used to, in terms of giving them stringent time frames in terms of, you know, presentations and, you know, allowing time for us to engage, and then them, if they have to come back and respond and all that.
We'll definitely do that in the letters that we'll send to them, inviting them to those meetings. Okay. Lastly, Honourable Joseph, as you hear me giving explanations why the program looks in a particular way, I was very much intimately involved with it, but we value the inputs that you have just suggested. We are going to incorporate those suggestions, and we'll send the last program to the honourable members. Thank you so much. Honourable Tihale, on Friday we end at 4, not at 8. It's 1600 hours. I don't know why does he think that from he then says
we ended at 1400 hours, then said between 1400 hours and 1800 hours we're traveling to the airport. It's the, what, 16 and 18, yeah, 16 and 18, which makes it 2 hours. That's the longest travel from Pretoria to the airport. But what I hear Honorable Tihali saying that her flight leaves at 4. That's the last flight to Polokwane. So, which means we must end lunchtime. Okay, let's end it. We'll see. Let's end at 1400 hours. Will that be fine, Honorable Tihali? That will accommodate you. Yeah. Let's end at 1400 hours. We'll see what changes we'll make. Okay. We'll factor all those things. Remember those things, Mr. Makakula. So that's the high level type of the program that will be guiding us on those 5 days. Yeah, on those 5 days. Thank you so much. Our members, let's go to the minutes. Oh, okay. My apologies. We added the program for the third term. Do we have that program? Let me see. Do you have it?
No.
Members?
Let's just
that one. Let's,
I don't have a copy.
If you don't have, we'll arrange one. That was the first thing I said when I came here, and I thought it was being attended. We'll ask the whips to please try and help us with that, otherwise we get sick and we don't attend this meeting. It's worse for comrades coming from the Northern Cape. Okay. Honourable members, do you have the draft program of the Standing Committee for the third term? We all have, eh? Mm-hmm. Joseph? You have it?
Yes,
okay. So you can see that we start here on the 8th of October, which is consideration of the Special Appropriations Bill and adoption of the draft report. So we'll be adopting the report on that day, right? And then on Wednesday, briefing by the Financial and Fiscal Commission on the 2020-21 Division of Revenue. So there will be a completely new matter that we'll be dealing with on that day. And then we break for the oversight visit that we've just spoken about. We come back on Tuesday the 22nd. We've got Auditor General on the 2018-2019 audit outcomes for all departments. Wednesday the 23rd, for now, is left open. And then we come back on Tuesday the 29th of October. Joint briefing of standing and select committees on finance and appropriations by the Parliamentary Budget Office on pre-2019 MTBPS. Then Wednesday, 30th of October, we've got MTBPS. You see, there's it's written lock-up session, 10 to quarter to 2. What is that? We are detained between those. How many hours? About 10, 11, 12, 1.
3 hours, 45 minutes. It's detention. Because you have got this privilege of being of seeing what the minister will be presenting in parliament, in his MTVVS. So you get in there, you write your name down. I don't think the phones go in. They don't allow the phones. So you can go in, there's food there, you can read anything. But until we go out there and go to the National Assembly, once you are in, you are in. There are police at the door. Yes, you do go. So the reason is, it's simple, honourable members. Budgetary information are market sensitive. So if other people have got certain information about what the minister is going to say, they may be guilty of what you call insider trading, because they may have that information and they move. Remember that these days you just press a button and things do happen. So that's the whole purpose, but it's not a big deal. It's what you pay for the privilege of having MTV, sight of MTVBS before the rest of South Africa sees it. And then the 31st, it's a joint briefing of the Finance and Provisions Committee by the Minister of Finance about MTVBS that you would have presented. Okay, and then come 5th of November, joint briefing of the Standing and Select Committees on Appropriations and Finance by the Parliamentary Budget Office about MTVVS. Wednesday, the 6th of November, briefing by the Public Service Commission, again, implications of MTVVS. 12th November, Human Sciences Research Council, again, MTVVS. And Wednesday, the 13th of November, briefing by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation on the second quarter performance report of national departments. And then Wednesday, 13 November, National Assembly debate on the revised fiscal framework. So you can see that in that most of our time in the coming term will be taken by budget and budget-related matters. Again, 14 November, joint briefing of Standing and Select Committees on Appropriations by National Treasury on the 2019 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. SALCA on the 2019 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, and then 19th November, consideration and adoption of the report on 2019 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. And then there's a decision of the National Assembly debates the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. 20th November, option on briefing and by identified department on 2019 AAB. Legal opinion already obtained stating that there is no problem receiving briefings from the departments before the bill is formally referred. 26 November is still open. These options are still open. And then 28th of November, joint briefing of the Standing and Select Committee on Appropriations by National Treasury on the 2019 Adjustment Appropriation Bill. Joint public hearings of the Standing and Select Committees on Appropriations, 2019 MTVS, 2019 Adjustment Appropriations Bill. Third of December, consideration and adoption of the committee's report on the MTVS and on the Adjustment Appropriation Bill. Wednesday, the 4th of December, Christmas is getting closer. Overview of committee's work undertaken during 2019 by content advisor, consideration of committee's draft program for the first term of 2020. December the 4th, National Assembly debate on 2019 Adjustments Appropriation Bill and 2019 MTPBS. 9th December to 13th December, constituents period, 17th December to January 2020, yeah. But this is very, very much indicative, honourable members, as you know, that some of these things change, but it's meant just to give you a view what to expect. But as I said, that the next term is more about MTVBS, and as you know, that when you open in 2020, again, it will be more about the budget.
that the Minister of Finance delivers around the 20th of February. Yeah, that's it. I don't think there is much to discuss except for clarifications, because as I'm saying, it's more indicative than anything else.
I move, Chair, before I move and she second.
Yeah.
It's a clarity seeking question, Chair. To any of us who is conversant on processes and procedure, just to check so that at least we have on record. Having experienced a situation where we see ourselves as the committee held, I don't want to say into ransom, but held into a situation where we are unable, due to the processes that are and have already run, I'm talking about the past, looking at this, are we safe from that trap going forward? Does this schedule give us time to interact with the budget such that we make inputs? Because experience has been that we can be 100% clever, but to be told that it's now water under the bridge. It's just a clarity-seeking question, Chair. Understanding that, of course, once there are these time frames put, there may be very little for us to temper.
Okay, Honourable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I see there's an opening the 23rd of October to be decided, but I was thinking that we're going in oversight. There will be reports be compiled afterwards. And what are we going to do with that reports? Are we going to have a session later on in October somewhere to fit that in? And maybe we can shift the open session into a swap it with one of the other sessions that we perhaps have. And then I just want to have clarity on the 28th, which is, I see the Thursdays is the other Thursdays, the meeting starts 12:30 to 1400, but this one specifically on 28th starts 9 o'clock to 12. The fact that we have caucuses, or are we excused from caucuses, the arrangements for that? The 28th of November. Just want to clarify that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we'll have to revisit those things,
yeah.
Because Thursdays are caucus days. I think let's just note that. That's one. And secondly, let's also note that we definitely will have to have the day for the reports, where we consolidate the reports and so on. We'll find time. It will, as you can see, that there are other areas which are open. So we'll have to find time so that we're able to discuss the report.
Just for clarity, on the Thursday, I'm not questioning the 12:30 time, I'm just questioning the morning session, the 9 o'clock.
Honourable Lenzan, the MTBPS, the medium-term budget policy statement, it's more indicative of what is going to come in the budget, in the main budget. So we engage with that. But as you know, that between the tabling of the budget by the minister and the adoption of the appropriations bill, I think we've got about 3 months to deal with that. Yeah, after, from the time that he presents it, we've got 3 months to interact with. It was only an anomaly this year because we're just 1 month to deal with something that we're ordinarily expected to deal with it for 3 months because of the elections. So I don't think there's any time we'll say that we have enough time, but it's better. Time frames are much better than what we found ourselves in this year. Honorable Peters and Honorable Tikhal.
Friday the 29th, Chairperson and members, 9 to 11, public hearings of the standing select committees on appropriations. I don't think that it's a realistic time frame. Usually the public hearings, we even have the afternoon. I don't know, maybe it's something the committee would, the content advisor and others will help us with. And then, Chairperson, there is this thing here. I just want to find out, is it a mistake or... There's Division of Revenue Amendment Bill as DORAP. And then somewhere you say the 5th of November, the presentation on the 2019 MTB BF, including a Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Is it not the same thing? Is it not supposed to be also DORAP, or is there something? I don't understand. DORAP and DORA and DUAP and AAP and ALDI APA.
Let's look at that, but I think for sense of if the 15th you have got DORAP November, right? Briefing by SALCA is DORAP, right? But it's SALCA, because you remember that SALCA is always has got that store that they must always interact about the division of revenue as it affects local government. So they have got that thing that they must always interact with respective committees, right? But there'll also be public hearings on the very same thing, right? I think that public hearing deals with the SALCA related DORAP issues. That's one. Then you're saying on the 19th, now we'll be considering the report which will be encompassing these hearings that we've had, whether from SALCA and from the public. So it's the same thing again, about the very same thing, the DORAP thing. I don't know whether I'm answering you.
The 29th, not the 19th.
Okay, the 19th and then the 29th, right?
The 29th.
Okay.
Can I just clarify? On the 29th of November,
yeah,
there's a joint public hearings of the standing and select committees on appropriations. On the MTBPS, including the 2019 Adjustment Appropriation Bill.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that the time allocated to that seems to be too little. If you take into consideration the history, and that was the issue that I was raising about the time, that is too little. And then the issue that I wanted to understand is the acronyms. There's here an acronym, Tuesday the 5th, which speaks to DOAB and AAB. But in the top a bracket, there was reference to the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill being DORAP. So I wanted to know whether this DUAP and DORAP refers to the same thing. It's just a yes or no, so that we can understand. Yes.
Zamis?
No, Chair, I think the simple answer to the question from Honourable Peter is that yes, they refer to the same thing. I think it was a technical error from the drafter, and that would be corrected. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. The time thing on Friday is taken into consideration. We'll deal with that. I think is a point that must be taken into consideration. Honourable Dehane.
I want to check, Chairperson, if it's not going to be doable, there's no problem. Whereby we are considering and adopting the report on Tuesday. I'm checking if ever we can be able to maybe consider this on Friday and we take the presentation on Tuesday. I'm afraid we'll be rushing out for the connecting flight.
Let's go to the, refer to the dates. Which dates are those?
Tuesday the 19th, November 2018.
Tuesday.
The committee will be busy with consideration and adoption of report on 2019 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. So my question was, will it be possible for us to consider and adopt maybe on Friday, and we take one of the presentations that will be happening on Friday to Tuesday? I guess we are having presentation on the 29th of November, it will be Friday, and the 15th November, there is a briefing by Salga on the DORA. So my question is it possible that we can take the presentation to Tuesday and we adopt the report on Friday?
No, we can't do it because look on the 20th, right? NHTC is on 2019 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. So would have to be reporting to the NA by that time. So it can't be changed. I think that Friday, if you consider what Honorable Peters has just said, it's a dead Friday for people who want to leave early. I think that's the my apologies. I'm then saying that it's very clear. Usually we leave on Thursdays. Yeah, so you can see that. So I'm saying that's a completely dead Friday for us. Those of us who consider themselves migrant workers, unlike Honorable Joseph, just take a short left. Okay, Honorable Members, I think we'll try and incorporate the comments which have been made, but as we have said, that it's more indicative, and let's say usually this they do change, but that gives you a broad picture as to how the next term would look like. Can we adopt it with that understanding? Okay. Thank you so much. Can we then go to the minutes? Let's just check whether you do have minutes of the 3rd of September, 4th of September, 10th and 11th of September. We have that, eh? Okay. Can you start with the minutes of the 3rd of September? I take it we had an opportunity to go over these minutes. Honorable Peter, 3rd of September.
I move.
Mover for the 3rd of September adoption. Seconded Sarupen. Thank you. Can you go to the minutes of the 4th of September? Honorable Tehale. Please stop.
I move for the adoption.
Tehale, move. Honorable Joseph, support. Adopted. Thank you. Minutes of the 10th of September. Honorable Matafa.
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Honorable Peters.
I second, Chairperson.
Minutes adopted of the 10th of September. 11th of September.
I move, Chair.
Honorable Joseph.
I move.
Honorable Joseph moves. Honorable Tehale. Seconded, adopted. That takes care of all the minutes, am I right?
Thank you. That takes us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Don't leave the chair.